Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I have news. You know, I've been sending out postcards daily for well over a year now. And I went through one batch, then I went through another one, and my second batch, I'm down to two cards. That's it. It's finished. What am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll get more. Oh, wait a minute. I get a lot more. So I have more cards. And there's a difference. You know, as I did the first time when I got new cards, I added this this link right here where it's the Kozlowska.org/he-begged-us besides the blatant Kozlowska.org/promise. I wanted to have something on the card that would distinguish it, that it's the second batch. Well, now there's the third batch. It has the he begged us, and above it, it has the Kozlowska.org/Molech. And I watched that again today because I suggest it's a rather big deal. But even more on the other side, it's basically the same as before, except I added the URL at the bottom, the Kozlowska.org/promise. Reason being is so I can then easily add dash and then the date, because that's how you can find the particular card. So this way the card can be easily found online. Because there are a whole bunch of these online now, hundreds, except all those on the wall there. For some reason, the images of the are online, but there's a second image where it's the return to sender. Return to sender. Wait a minute. My wife signed a document that said that mail from the dad, which would happen to be me, to the kids, her kids, our kids, who are at home with her, would not be censored. Let me think about it. If the cards come back that are mailed to my kids marked return to sender, what's the word for that? Oh yes, I think it's censorship. Wait a minute, that means my wife is in violation of man's law. So what would I do about that? Should I go to the state? Oh, wait a minute, there's that little thing in, what is that book? Oh yeah, it's called the Bible. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 about, that would be a shameful thing. So I won't do that. No, because as I often say now, I'm a follower of Christ, so I follow Christ in obedience to him because he's made it very clear. There's some things you don't do, such as turn to the state. You know, I guess, but that's only for the follower of Christ, it seems. But these were printed and picked up today. But there is more. I went to pick them up. And like the first time, first time he printed them for free. Second time, he gave me a notable discount. Third time, I go there and pick up two stacks again for free. So I have these stacks that'll cover me for about another year. And they were printed for free. One of the things that has crossed my mind is that there are a number of people I have friendships with. A good number of those people, we have disagreements. Some because we agree that Christ is who he claims to be, but we have a different understanding of various aspects of what it is to be a follower of Christ. And, you know, I could take the attitude, I'm right, they're wrong, so I won't have nothing to do with them. Or I could say, we follow Christ. And don't tell anybody, but I've been wrong before. So what we would do is offer grace. What an interesting idea. And maintain a friendship. It seems rational. Then there's the other group of people that we don't follow the same Christ. In some cases, it's a Christ in name only. In some cases, Christ isn't involved at all. But we maintain a friendship. And some of them are actually very good friendships. But There are those people who claim Christ, but say, I want nothing to do with you. Don't contact me, in the case of Chris Bitterman, or go to the state and put a wall up, you know, get a legal document so if I show up to see my kids, I would be arrested. See, if you follow Christ, then you go to the state to prevent the dad from seeing his kids. It confuses me. Why is that? But I'm grateful I have these relationships. Again, as I pointed out, it's the iron sharpening the iron. There's more that I'm doing at the printer. When I printed the when I printed some of the cards, I had these big pictures that you see on my wall behind me printed. I went there and I said, okay, I don't have the printer that I had, well, actually still sitting here, it's a fine color printer. Well, it printed, for example, like that picture and this one here, which is fine, but it doesn't have that, it's not that glossy print. This was done on a printer that has the nice glossy paper and real, real good print. And so I had those done a while ago, and I ended up putting them on the wall like they are because it's a constant reminder to me. And also, it's a great background on the video, I personally believe. But those kind of ideas kind of fell into place, and I wasn't very clear on it. And then once I had them on the wall, it was kind of like, I like this. You know, again, because I can look and I can see my wife. I can see some of my kids, you know. George in front of the Apollo 16, I think it is, with his hat. My grandkids with their parents. And of course, there's a picture of me here and so forth. And us guys and so forth and at the beach and whatnot. And the bulk of the flock. And of course, may I say again, that beautiful lady. But I figured, okay, you know, because there was one thing odd. Well, can we see? Yes. There's the one photo that's out of place in the sense that this person's not part of my family. Ashadi Shada. And, you know, I feel a bond with him, almost in the sense that he is part of my family. He's a follower of Christ, lives near Idlib in northwest Syria. You know, there's the bond with him because he's a follower of Christ. There's a bond with him because he lost his wife and kids, in his case, to death. So I feel an extra bond to him. But, you know, over the years, I've had this similar bonds to a variety of people. And, well, I wasn't planning on doing it, but... And my intention is tomorrow do a slightly different video, because what I did, I left at the printer basically a stack of pictures to have more of these printed, and they're not as much family, they're provocative. There is the rather important humorous picture, because to me it is one of the best pictures we ever have. It's Chris standing in front of the sign pointing to Benton Falls. Buzzard Point. He's pointing to the Buzzard Point, which was maybe a quarter mile down the road. We had got to the top of the hill, and it's about a quarter mile on the top of the hill. And so the signs are pointing to it, and he's, where is it? Kind of, the picture to me, it's one of the finest moments in our hikes. I also have a picture of the two of us standing in front of a sign going up to Big Frog. And the interesting thing about that picture is he took the picture of me, I took the picture of him, and then I spliced them together. And it looks, that one came out pretty good. But so we have a couple of those, and I have the picture of where we stood. We stood here talking about Buzzard Point. So I have those. I do have the one. I have the Vax bus with the George question mark on it. I have the picture of my car on fire, which, you know, that was a memorable moment. And in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, it'll be 10 years from the date that happened. I have the picture of John and Jane in the Genesis Apologetics about creation versus evolution. But then I have several pictures of Phuc Thong, somebody I've mentioned many times. Several pictures of him. I have the picture, and I was going to do the picture of him, but I said, no, I want to make sure it's a reminder. I'm telling you all the things I'm going to tell you tomorrow. Daniel Hale with the image I did when I did the video for him a year ago in a couple of days, 1st of August. So I'll have those. I have several pictures of Olev Melikov because I have such respect for that guy. He's the guy freeing slaves. I have some others, but the biggest number of them, I'll explain again tomorrow in detail, is collateral murder. Because it's had an impact on me. But the intent is probably right there tomorrow will be the picture that I have of Susanna. And it's kind of like, why Susanna? And that because the relationship of that picture with Susanna on the day of collateral murder. These things have really impacted me. I have another picture of a gentleman. It was a 3-5 minute video from Al Jazeera of all places, from Senegal, a guy with his young child in his lap. And I heard him speak, and I just sensed in him and the look in the face of his son. A lot of respect, and potentially he's a brother. I don't know. There's nothing to indicate that per se. But just the way I saw him react with his son. Anyway, I'm telling you all the things I'm going to tell you tomorrow. But I intend to go pick those up tomorrow. And one of the other things I intend to pick up is, you know, these are on there with these little push pins. I need to get more. So that's part of the plan for tomorrow. And in doing that, the place I'll go get it is near Daybreak, where I used to live. And my intention is to see Mike Day, you know, my favorite drug dealer. Again, he's the gentleman who spent 6-7 years, whatever, in prison for being a pretty high-end drug dealer. But I'm his friend. And he called me about a week ago, and I feel compelled to go see him. But on that, I got another call today, and I was on the phone, so it was an unrecognized number, and I said, okay, because most of those calls are junk mail. But if it's important, they leave a voicemail. I'll recognize the number in the future. But in this case, apparently, because I recognize they don't identify it, it is the I think it was the Bradley County Prison, you know, the prison that's a couple miles away from me. Because again, Lynn and Gary, well, Lynn's daughter, Ree, is in prison in reference to. You know, it's fascinating. She's in prison right now. She's been in prison for 3 or 4 months. she got caught for having a joint, you know, a marijuana cigarette. But she's also on probation. So she's been in prison and apparently supposed to be released this month. So it may be she was calling me because I attempted to call her before. And the issue is, I don't know her last name. So when I called the government agency, you got a first name, you don't have a last, can't help you. Kind of like, so apparently she called this morning because I think she's supposed to be getting out in August. But the interesting irony is right now the U.S. is kind of in some sort of negotiation with a U.S. citizen, basketball player, a female basketball player who was arrested in Russia for carrying, allegedly a small amount of marijuana or oil. You know, I don't think it was CBD oil. I think it was a little bit more potent than that. And apparently she has been sentenced to 9 years in prison. That just came up today. So there's negotiation going on to do a prisoner exchange. What I find fascinating is they're saying, oh, she's arrested for something that's so minor. But of course, it's in violation of the laws in Russia. Whereas Ree was arrested for having basically the same thing, is in prison, and nobody cares. You know, you're not going to see the president go, release her, because she is one of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in the U.S. In prison for minor drug offenses. Sometimes major drug offenses, you know, like my friend Mike, in the sense that he was a large dealer. But still, there's a whole problem with that whole system. But the contrast, you have to be a really tall black woman who I think has some sexual issues, whatever. So all these things put together, it makes you famous, and you'll have the president of the United States come help you. If you're a nobody, you're forgotten. So, you know, my issue was, okay, how do I find out? And so when I picked up my cards today, I walked by where Glenn and Gary used to live, and I saw a couple people out there who knew them, and I asked, do you know her last name? And kind of like, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know her name. So I said, okay, how do I find out her name? And what I realized is I know she was working at a hotel as part of the housekeeping crew, because I've actually seen her walking by once. And it suddenly dawned on me, because from what I understand, her job is secure to come back. So my plan is not tomorrow, but Saturday, to go to that hotel. Not to check in, but to simply go to the housekeeping department and say, you know her. What's her name? so it's because there are so many people in the world who are just discarded. Ree and I are completely different. She has a different lifestyle. But because she's Lynn's daughter. And again, it was the day that I showed up, the day that Gary died. It was that morning he died. I showed up, she was there, and one other person had already arrived. But she was on the phone. It wasn't Ree. She was in prison. but a cousin of Ree was at the house. I got there. It's kind of like, okay, where's Gary? So she opens the door. I recognized her because I met her before, and hands me a cell phone because she was on the phone, and Ree was on the phone. You know, from prison, and kind of conversation. But she reached out to me because she knows my relationship with both Lynn and Gary. I have no relationship with these people. Their lifestyles, their history, their future, radically different than mine. But she asked. It's an important point, she asked. And one of the things I noticed about her, she's a human being created in the image of God. And she said, help me. So the first time that she apparently called, I tried, and I couldn't figure out how to help. Apparently she called this morning again, and I couldn't figure out how to help because I couldn't connect. And now I think I know how. And so I think Saturday, I'm going to go literally the extra mile, and it'll be roughly a mile, on my way to the farmer's market. I'll go a little bit on my way, go to this hotel, and talk with these people, and hopefully get her name. Because you see, as I point out, if you're a follower of Christ, follow Christ. You know, what's the Matthew 25, visit you in prison? The thing that was so fascinating today is I then had a conversation with Chris Prince, and I said, it looks like I had a call and I got to figure out how to do this, connect with her. And he said, well, she may need a ride. If so, I'll get you my car or I'll drive her. That's what a follower of Christ does. I mean, he's in Athens. He's a long way, well, you know, 20, 30 minute drive away. But here's a woman, I don't think he's ever met her, who's reaching out. And like me, he's saying, not only, I mean, he wasn't asked, but he's voluntarily saying, I'm here to help. Whereas some people, well, they return postcards. It's a big deal to me. I don't know why, maybe because, oh, I'm a follower of Christ. To try to learn how to follow Christ, to love well. And who do you love well? The pretty ones? Or the unlovable? I mean, Lynn and Gary. Because I thought about it again today. Because I was trying to remember, was it the same day or was it the same week? When I talked with Miss Lillian one day and I talked with Gary, it may have been the same day. And they both said to me, you're the only one that visits me. And, you know, that was a... One of those heart-wrenching moments, and felt a lot of pressure because, again, these are human beings created in the image of God. Lynn and Gary are dead. I can do nothing for them. But in a sense, I can, because I can act as an act of love towards Ree, Lynn's daughter. So that's still my plan. One other minor thing. I'm continuing the work on Shofar Nexus. It was fair today because I did go to the farmer's market and then to the printer and so forth. So the mind wasn't clear, but there's about roughly half a dozen areas that I want to either have to be radically changed or completed, or in some cases, completely removed because I refined the technique. One of those was completely removed today. So it was kind of like a milestone. And I got to that. So even though it didn't make it any, it didn't show any progress. I mean, you won't be able to see this. But it's one of those things that have been hanging around literally for a long time. The desire to remove this is maybe 6 months old. But now it's gone because I have a better technique inside. And, I'm grateful for that to be accomplished. You know, it's one of these things, again, it's the floor sweeping under the rug that nobody sees. But I knew it was there. And it was a burden, but that burden is now gone. And I'm grateful for that. I did get another message. Bob did. And it was a great encouragement from a friend. I won't go into that. But, okay, so much for doing short. And I told you a bunch about the pictures. But tomorrow, my hope, my plan is I'll put the pictures in the video. Or something. I'll do something. But I want those pictures there. Because when you look at a picture, you know, I have the picture, and it's just a street in Baghdad, all kind of shot up and whatnot. And you see just the, because this was, again, this was the modified copy by WikiLeaks. They did the editing, and they put the text on the screen of what's being said. So you can look at it. You can look at it without the audio, which is kind of convenient. So I have the one picture here of the street and the word "nice." That really makes the word "nice" offensive. It really does. You know, and there is the other one that is so important to me. Picture roughly the same place. And this was at the point where Ethan McCord was taking one of the kids, or either the first or the second kid, from the van to medical care. And the statement was made by somebody in the helicopter. "Well, it's their fault for bringing their kids into a battle." And somebody else commented, "That's right." Mr. Tamal did the role of a good Samaritan. He did not come to a battle to fight. He came to a battle to offer mercy. And you, as soldiers, killed him. I think this is offensive. And Lord willing, tomorrow, those pictures will be on my wall. A constant reminder. Next to Susanna's picture. My lady, my wife. You and I were sharing life together in Enterprise, Alabama, on that day when I took Susanna on a date. At that time, I was very in love, very much in love with Susanna, the rest of our kids, and you. And I thought that was shared. But it seems as Mr. Tamal was killed in cold blood. In a real sense, so was I. Except I still have a pulse. And while I have a pulse, my sole goal is not revenge. It's not getting even. It's not trying to embarrass somebody, although it may happen, but it's to seek reconciliation. To bless as much as I can by using the truth, not a lie. Remember, I was fired there for being a whistleblower. Because, you know, I'm still quite convinced, as it turns out, it was stealing $2 million a year. And pointing that out apparently was offensive. And I stand by it. Striving to follow Christ with anybody only happens by a person who stumbles and falls makes big mistakes. It was the example, because it was discussed even today, the example of Peter, the obvious example. A prideful, arrogant guy who blundered his way through so much, fell constantly. The Lord called him out. The apostle Paul called him out. And there was constant repentance. And I think the evidence is clear, especially reading 1 and 2 Peter. He stands before the Lord redeemed because he has a relationship with Christ. Not because he has a whole bunch of sins, but because he has a relationship with Christ. I have a whole bunch of sins. I've blundered a lot. I've made mistakes, and perhaps I still make a mistake or two now. Probably not, but maybe. And that's why I constantly wrestle with Chris. Where are we going? Where are we collectively going wrong? Where is Chris going wrong? And I ask him, where am I going wrong? This is a constant. Because we want that relationship with Christ. So we struggle with each other to mutually encourage, but we also individually struggle with the Lord because we want that relationship. It's, you know, I use the verse in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have nothing to lose in this life that is worth losing the relationship with Christ. Death is only gain. However, I am alive. So while I'm alive, for me to live is Christ. I am so emphatic on that now. What is it? Dealing with re. How do I reflect Christ well? Dealing at the farmer's market that I was today. How do I reflect Christ well? Dealing with the man who printed these for free for me today. How do I reflect Christ well to him? How do I encourage him and bless him? Tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll see Mike Day. Now again, my favorite felon. How do I encourage and bless him? There's a few other people I might see. How do I encourage? How do I act so before them they don't see me, but Christ working through me? Not because I'm special, but because Christ is. And he holds me. I don't want to shield. You know, again, the thing that's so fascinating to me, he is the truth, literally not hidden. I don't want to be a veil to hide him. I want him to be seen through me, not hidden. I want to act in love. And I want to pursue people. And the plan is, I was pondering having it done by now, but obviously I haven't opened the wrapper yet. The plan is, the first card tomorrow, we'll go to Jim Cross. Because I have no idea what shape he's in, what he's like, or anything of that nature. He's my father-in-law. And I am going to pursue wholeheartedly a reconciled relationship with him. Because, obviously, sending a card to my wife, it'll end up on the wall shortly thereafter. But I want him to know I'm still here. And I'll have the date of the card online with links. You know, the card, on the cards where the picture's there, there are the links frequently to the voicemail of the previous day. Or relevant other things. I'm not playing at this. This is a serious effort to reconcile. And the other thing I did is I stopped at the post office and got a whole lot more stamps. So I'm prepared for the next 2-3 months. I'm not giving up. as long as the Lord allows, I'm not giving up. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I'm trying to prove it. I'm trying to show you. I love you. I love our kids. Irrespective of what's happened, and I'm seeking reconciliation. Unambiguously. I'm not after revenge. I'm after reconciliation. Ideally, that would include reunification. Fundamentally, I won't stop pursuing reconciliation till one of us is dead. And by the way, I'm in excellent health. I understand that could change any moment. You know, I may not live out the day. But if you play the odds are, as I made the commitment to strive to live to be 90, I'm striving to live to be 90. You know, I did a modest 5 miles today. So pathetically easy. And it wasn't slow. I'm striving to be there for my wife and my kids. My lady, the woman I love and adore. I want you back desperately.